Welcome to Handsome Boys Comics Hour. Hope you survive the experience.
Those boys are so handsome!
Hello everyone, this is the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, your weekly discussion of comics and other pop culture, your home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more. I'm Robbie Dorman.
And I'm Eric C. Goodman. You are just already giving me the giggles.
I am caffeinated, I am ready, I am excited. This is episode 19.
You caffeinated, huh?
I know.
I can't even imagine.
I'm hyped up on the Coca-Cola.
On the Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola Zero.
And it's not... You're telling me it's not like an IV drip of Rockstar?
Not today.
Not today?
That's only on, like, Wednesdays.
Only on Wednesdays. That's a good day.
Sometimes. Depends on the Wednesday, really.
Round out your hump day.
Round it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually an all-day thing, so it's not really rounding it out. It's kind of...
Well, you know...
Pushing me through.
Sure. You need to be rounder for it.
So, this is episode 19.
So, I've heard.
You've heard that from me.
I have heard from you.
From me just now.
Just now and a moment ago.
and briefly.
And maybe you'll say it again.
Maybe. At the end.
Yes, the end.
Dum, yes. Nom, nom, my only friend.
It's really, you are a little too obsessed with the Doors. I'm getting a little ill of this. We always too many Jim Morrison references.
It took like 6 seconds. What is it? It's not like I'm going on ad infinitum about Jim Morrison.
It's really becoming a motif here.
I don't see a problem with that.
I do. I have a lot of problems.
You don't like Jim Morrison?
It's you. I have the problem with.
Well, I'm not gonna go away.
I guess that's right.
I could stop talking about Jim Morrison. That's not gonna.
You're not gonna stop.
That's
being Robbie.
Not gonna solve the problem of me.
No, it won't. It's an impossible problem to solve.
So we got a great show for you, folks. Unfortunately, you're all gonna have to deal with me.
It is a serious problem. That is my concern.
We're going to jump right into checking in. I'll go first this time. Is that okay with you, Eric?
I will allow it.
Okay, good. I want your permission before I continue.
You have my blessing.
Excellent.
So let it be written.
So let it be done?
So let it be done.
Jean-Luc Picard, make it so.
Mm-hmm. Yul Brynner?
Sure.
That's from, you know, the Bible, the movie with Yul Brynner.
They're making a movie out of the Bible?
It's the Charlton Heston movie.
I thought that was the Ten Commandments.
Yes. And it had Yul Brynner.
I don't watch religious movies, Eric.
Neither do I.
Yet you know all this information about the Bible, the movie.
I'm not going to talk to you anymore. This is going to be a really weird podcast. You're going to be like, hey, Eric, what do you think of this? Silence. Seems like you were going to say words at me. What were those?
Okay. I have a few things to check in with.
Sweet.
Yes. First thing is a game for your mobile phone device.
Ooh. I have one of those.
You do. So you could perhaps play it. It's called Plants vs. Zombies 2, the sequel to the very popular and award-winning Plants vs. Zombies.
Was it... iOS or is it iOS only or is it Android also?
I'm not positive. I have it on iOS.
Seems like since you're checking in with this, you could have done some research, Robbie.
I don't want to break from our established tradition of no research, absolutely. Now is not the time to change course. When you're fording a river, you don't double back. You keep going.
I guess so.
This is Plants vs. Zombies 2. It's the sequel to the original. It deviates.
Hence the two.
Hence the two. It's called.
The name and the two.
It has three different big stages. You're basically time traveling. The first one's ancient Egypt, and then you go to pirates. I don't know what pirate time it is. Like, it doesn't. Pirates, like, exist still.
I think. Well, you said pirate time. I think that's enough.
That's enough pirate
it's,
time.
It's pirate time.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's like basically. Same bat time. It's like same. It's like same pirate time.
Pirate time, and then finally you are in the Wild West, and it's similar mechanics as the first. They've changed it to make it like the stage levels almost like Super Mario World, where like you have 1-1, 1-2, 1-3. And as you after beating it the first time, you can go back and beat it again to get additional stars. You know, you unlock, you can go with side quests, unlock new plants, unlock bonuses. They've added a lot more depth to it than the first game. There's a lot more game modes too, which I think is really fascinating, but it's a lot of fun. I've got almost all the stars in the first level in the Egyptian, ancient Egyptian level. I'm sure the zombies are themed for, you know, you got like different mummies and pharaoh zombies and guys in the sarcophagi and stuff like that. I'm sure the Wild West and the pirate zombies are going to have their own like little caveats that you got to learn to deal with. But, you know, they varied up the gameplay a lot more than the first one. The first one kind of gets repetitive. This one, they've make it changes enough that you don't get so bored with it. You just keep playing and it's a new game a little bit. Challenge modes and stuff like that, but it's a lot of fun. If you like the original, you'll like this one.
I like things that are fun.
Yep. Other thing I'm checking in with is The World's End, the third of the Cornetto trilogy by Edgar Wright with Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. This one also has Martin Freeman and other British character actors that I can't readily identify by their names. You'll recognize them just because, hey, it's that one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the guy and the thing that I know.
Yeah.
Stuff.
This is a... kind of inverts Shaun of the Dead a little bit, because in Shaun of the Dead, you know, Simon Pegg's character is, like, the straight-laced guy, and Nick Frost's character is, like, the party animal, and this is totally reversed it, where Nick Frost's character is the straight-laced businessman, and Simon Pegg's character is this, like, drug-addled alcoholic who is, you know, in his 40s and wants to relive being 18 again by going on this pub crawl they did in their hometown. And that actually is most of the movie. There is some, like, sci-fi, you know, like, science fiction, you know, fantastical elements a la Shaun of the Dead, you know, where you get the zombies. But the zombies are in most of Shaun of the Dead. The World's End, you don't really get the weird stuff until maybe two-thirds of the way through the movie. And I don't... And actually, I would say you arguably wouldn't even need that. Like, you could have... They could have made this a straight-up, like...
Just a drama about the dudes.
Exactly. And it would have functioned perfectly well. But I still enjoyed it. I think I like it more than Hot Fuzz. Not more than Shaun of the Dead, although this doesn't rally nearly as much like gimmickry and like and camera tricks and Edgar Wright's kind of his trademark stuff that he does. It doesn't rely. It's more of a straight up film than anything of the other stuff I've seen of his.
So I'm gonna have to see it because I definitely enjoyed Hot Fuzz more than Shaun of the Dead. I don't know if I'm alone in that. I just thought Hot Fuzz was an incredibly brilliant movie, and I've been excited about seeing this, but I haven't got out to see it.
No, it's been out for maybe a month now, I think. A month or so. The theater we were in is a smaller theater.
I didn't realize it had been out that long.
Yeah, there was maybe like 10 other people in there. It wasn't, and this is in like the big giant Boca Raton movie theater where there's 20 theaters there. Huh. They put this in one of their smaller ones, and it wasn't super packed, so, which is nice, you know. But everyone we were with enjoyed it, and it's funny, has good moments, but a lot of the humor is just them being, you know, idiots to each other. You know, these five guys, you know, making stupid jokes and stuff. Simon Pegg, I will say, has become a better actor since Shaun of the Dead, noticeably. Like, you can definitely, I can see a change in how in his performances, and it's gotten better. He's a lot very touching in this because it's kind of a tragic figure. This kind of fucked up guy. I would recommend it though. Definitely go see it.
You would recommend Simon Pegg, the fucked up guy.
Yes. Gary King. His name is Gary King in the movie.
Exciting.
Yeah. What do you got, Eric? What do you got for me?
It's been a pretty light week. It's been a pretty sparse week.
Sparse?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, dude. Well, there's no sports ball today.
There is sports ball today.
Yeah, but not for me.
Oh.
It happens tomorrow, and honestly, I might not even watch it then. The one thing that I've picked up for myself was Chris Hardwick's book, The Nerdist Way. Are you familiar with Chris Hardwick?
The name sounds familiar, but you should.
Nerdist?
I know The Nerdist, yes.
The Nerdist Way is the name of the book. Chris Hardwick's a little bit of a hero of mine, and the book is sort of about his process of how he's reinvented himself over the past 6 or 7 years. Because he just found himself at a point in his life. He was like an alcoholic. He was fat. He had no prospects. And basically, like when he was 22, he made like $400,000 in 1 year and had blown it all the next year, and had basically just every year of his life had been worse since then. And, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, he had turned 30. He had nothing going on. And it's a self-help book about the things that worked for him. And one of the things that I've been doing this past week that was really fun to work on is he recommends keeping a diary, but it's like done in the form of like a D&D character sheet, but it's about you. So I've got like a thing of graph paper, and I'm making a diary of just sort of how awesome I am. As you can imagine, it's going to get full pretty quick.
Plus 3 constitution?
Well, I'm not going to talk about what I've actually put in here, because it would be kind of embarrassing.
Okay.
But, like, you know, I drew a little picture of myself, and you assess your stats, and you write down your skills, and one person online said to draw, like, an inventory of stuff, and I did that, and it's an excuse to write down, you know, goals and things I want to do and things that I have done, and it's just sort of a journal of things, and it's been fun to tool around with. But I started and finished that book on Audible, and I don't know, it has been exciting, and I would recommend it to anyone that's looking to better themselves. Probably fairly relevant to people that would be hearing my voice right now. Chances are you're a nerd.
What are you trying to say, Eric? Are you?
If you're listening to an obscure podcast about comic books, you're a fucking nerd.
Are you calling me a nerd?
You are like King Nerd.
Okay, I guess I have to accept that.
You do have to accept that.
At least I'm the king. I guess that's not...
That's true.
I guess that's good.
You're King Nerd. I'm Alpha Nerd.
Oh, okay.
You're Universe 1. I'm Universe A.
Oh. I'd rather... Can I be... I want to be Team Mongoose.
That's acceptable.
Okay.
I don't know what that reference is, but that's acceptable.
It's Futurama as well. Okay.
That's good.
So, is that it? That's all you got?
It's been a lot of reading Bone and a lot of illustrating. There's not a lot of time for anything else.
That's true.
But you saw the drawing I did.
I did see it.
Yeah, that's going to be my French paper came in.
Your French paper?
Mm-hmm, from the French paper company.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, it's not from France.
Baguettes.
It's not from France.
Croissant.
The guy that started the company's name is Jerry French.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. God, you're a dork. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wait a second. I mean, my cat is bothering the crap out of me.
So, just throw them down the stairs.
I need to open the door because she won't stop scratching at it.
This is a guest drop-in. It's a safety head.
Okay.
Okay.
Now she's gonna bother me more directly by jumping up on the desk and walking over everything, I'm sure.
Good. This is good content.
It is. I'll cut all this shit. Okay. Now that we're checking in, we're going to get some of Eric's thoughts out in the open in 2 cents.
Clearly, it's what matters up in here.
It's what our audience is demanding. All of them are just shouting at me as I walk down the street. What does Eric think about random people? I need to know.
People want to know what I think.
They do. I'm going to give Eric names. He's going to tell me what he thinks. It's really that simple.
It doesn't need to be complicated.
No, it doesn't. So you ready, Eric?
Yeah, don't you know it.
Okay, first, because I saw The World's End.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Pegg.
I want to kiss him always.
Kiss him?
Yes.
Where?
Maybe.
Kiss him where?
That's between him and me.
Oh, it's up for debate.
No, having just read Chris Hardwick's book, I think I want to read his book next. I'm a huge fan. Hopefully Edgar Wright and Nick Frost are not also on this list, because it's going to be a similar grease job on them.
No, they're not. I figured one would be enough.
Yes, they're kind of a triptych. You know, you like one and you don't like the others. There's something gone horribly wrong.
Maybe Edgar Wright just like insulted you on the street.
Yeah, Nick Frost, he's all right. But that Edgar Wright, Jesus. My God.
Okay, number two, a gentleman who's starred in an Edgar Wright movie.
Uh-oh. Nick Frost?
No, not Nick Frost. Michael Cera.
You know, if he had, like, different characters that he could play, I mean, he's one guy. You know?
Have you seen Youth in Revolt?
I have not.
You should see that. He shows a little bit of range.
A little bit of range?
That the whole premise of the movie is that he has this alter ego, kind of like a Tyler Durden kind of guy, that kind of takes over and makes him, like, edgy.
I don't really have a huge problem with Michael Cera, and I think that he's not quite in the limelight the way he was. I mean, he's good in Arrested Development.
There's always money in the banana stand, Michael.
There's money there in the banana stand. But, like, every character that he plays is exactly like George Michael.
Yes, it is.
It's an awkward, skinny kid that's like, bah, 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 bah.
It's true.
And there's only so many years you can ride the coattails of that.
Well, maybe he's a vampire and he just doesn't age.
I guess so. If he's been doing this for hundreds of years, you think he would have tried to reinvent himself a little bit.
He knows what works. He sticks with the formula.
Yeah, that's it only works for so long. But whatever. Well,
eventually we'll all die and forget.
Well, I wish Michael Cera would die so I could forget.
Really? That's kind of harsh. Michael Cera has not done anything to you.
You don't know that.
Okay, I don't know, but I'm fairly certain.
Michael Cera peed my mother.
I don't know how he did that, but I'm not going to ask.
Use your imagination, Robbie. You're a big boy. I can't shelter you from this for all time.
Okay, next.
Next? There's more?
Next.
This is exciting.
It's Tina Fey.
I used to have a big crush on Tina Fey, and I still think she's, like, very smart and very talented. But there was just a period where she got really overexposed, and I associate her kind of like Janine Garofalo very strongly with that time period. And then, you know, that time sort of passes, and you just sort of want to forget her.
You just broke her heart, Eric.
That's fine.
She's listening right now.
I am positive that Tina Fey is.
I Skyped her in.
I'm sure she's laughing all the way to the bank.
Next, Zach Galifianakis.
You know me and Beardy are tight.
Beardy.
Yeah, he's from North Carolina.
Is he?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's like from Fayetteville or some awful place.
Well,
it's like
are you really delineating between all the awful places in North Carolina?
There are fewer than you would think, but Fayetteville is a terrible, terrible place.
Okay. Well, it's probably why he left.
But, well, no, anyone would leave Fayetteville. I want to say he's from, I don't know. Like, he told this story once, and if I had not known, I would have guessed that he was from North Carolina, because I've known so many people that were like this story. Can we take a tangent and I can tell you this amazing story?
Please tell me this story.
It will enrich your life. So he said that he was with one of his friends and they were coming out of a convenience store, and there was some good old boy sitting in his truck, and he sees him come out and he goes, "Two pussies," just like that. And they like looked at each other and friggin' busted out laughing at this guy. And this guy like turned beet red and got really embarrassed. And he's like, "How brave of that young man to point out, yes indeed, we are pussies." But it's just like, I can't tell you how many like 18-year-old idiots that I've met that would totally just like, "Oh, look at you, pussy." Just, oh, man. There are a lot of things I love about North Carolina, and guys like that, not my favorite. Anyway, no, me and Beardy. I have love in my heart for that man.
Okay, next, Andy Kaufman.
I never think about Andy Kaufman. Huh? You know?
I think about him occasionally.
That's odd.
I'm a wrestling fan.
Yeah?
And he was as well.
He was?
He was. You didn't know anything about that?
This is, what was, Tony Clifton?
Well, yeah, he was also Tony Clifton, yeah.
Yeah, this is we're talking about the guy from SNL and...
Yeah,
we're talking about
and Taxi, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Taxi. Yeah.
He was a huge wrestling fan. He did like an entire gimmick with Jerry Lawler in the South, in one of the feds down there. You don't know anything about that?
No, I do not.
It's freaking crazy and amazing. He went because he loved wrestling, but obviously he was like 5'6" and weighed like 140 pounds. I mean, he looks
fatter than that.
Okay, he was not a big gentleman. That's my main point.
Of course.
He's a small guy. He's an actor or comedian. He's not like a wrestler. But
Smalley McSmallson.
Yeah, he went and did this gimmick in this angle in like the South in Jerry Lawler's territory back in like the 70s, where he would challenge women to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And from the crowd, I'm not sure if they were plants or not. They probably were. But and then he'd inevitably beat them and grandstand and celebrate. He made himself a belt and a T-shirt that read Women's Wrestling Champion or something like that.
Jesus Christ. He tore
around the country. Everyone hated him. This is when everyone thought wrestling was real, or, you know, when more people thought wrestling was real. I'm sure most people still thought it was fake. But...
They were like ten kids.
Yeah, the average redneck still thought it was real, and all of them. This is the South too, so everyone hated him. And then he got in this angle with Jerry Lawler, back when Lawler was like a regular wrestler and was like a big champion in the South. I mean, he ran his own organization. He toured all the time. He sold out everywhere. Memphis was his big territory, and. So he would. They went on the Tonight Show, the Tonight Show with several different talk shows, late night talk shows, and then they had this angle where they would wrestle, and Lawler, of course, killed Coffin. He gave him a pile driver, and Coffin went around for months wearing this big giant brace on his neck, and would, like, do all these very standard heel cowardly tactics, play up his big Hollywood thing, like, call everyone he's ran into hicks and all that. Like, I'm from Hollywood. I don't have to. What are all these you hicks and all that stuff? It's fantastic. There's a whole documentary about it. It's really good. So that's really what I mean, that's what I associate with Andy Kaufman, but of course he's the avant-garde comedian too. And that's part of it. I mean, it was kind of like a big comedy act for him.
Wow.
But, so, do you have any thoughts?
No.
Nothing?
I'm telling you, this is not someone I think about very much.
Did you enjoy his work in Taxi?
Never saw Taxi.
You never watched Taxi? It's good. No. It was a really good show. Good sitcom. Okay, we'll move on. I know you have an opinion about this guy.
Okay.
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks?
Mel Brooks.
Are they ever going to make that new Spaceballs movie that they've been teasing about?
I have no idea.
I've loved a lot of his movies. I wish I could remember who it was that told that story about him being a huge douchebag. Like, I don't even remember who it was. But he said some... No, I think it was... I think it was like one of the guys. It was either the guy that did the voice of Pinky or the Brain. It was one of those two guys. He made some really dumb joke. And Mel Brooks came up to him and he said, "Let me tell you something, Sonny. In this business, wit is shit and money is fun era. Funny is money. So yeah."
So you hate Mel Brooks and want to murder him?
If that's your takeaway, sure. you can listen
to
some.
You're free to correct me.
Well, I don't know where you got that.
I'm just trying to be sensationalist.
Well, then yes, I'm going to ass rape Mel Brooks the first chance I get. Look out, Mel.
Jesus Christ, Eric. You're getting a little crazy about that. Man, you need to dial down the anger.
Yeah, don't we? Jeez. Oh, man. I'm out of control over here. Oh, my goodness. What's wrong with me?
What are you doing? You beatboxing over there?
I guess. I don't know. What are you doing?
Dancing.
You don't? Good. You dance to my beatboxing. Jesus Christ.
Next up, Miyazaki.
This is my secret dad, Miyazaki. And he's retiring.
He is retiring. This is
good because his eyeballs don't work.
Really?
You didn't hear that?
No.
I mean, that's what happens, you know.
He's 72 years old.
Artists get old, their eyes don't work as well anymore. It happened to Akira Toriyama. It happened to Miyazaki.
It's sad.
That's what happens. You draw a billion hours for forever. But it almost seems a foregone conclusion. Do you want me to tell you a heartwarming story about how Miyazaki changed my life?
Yes.
I don't have any.
Oh, you tease.
I do what I can.
Okay.
I watched a movie of his and enjoyed it. How about that?
Okay, good story.
It was a really good story.
It was a good story.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, next up, another director. Another good director. Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg?
Yes.
Speaking of people that should retire.
you mean Senor Spielbergo should hang it up?
I think so. I mean, he's got he's one of the richest directors in the business.
Second only to George Lucas.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think he's done well as a producer, but... What has he directed lately?
Lately-ish.
Lately?
I can't think of anything, actually.
You can't use IMDb.
I'm going to.
You stop it! Stop! Please.
Why?
Oh, man.
It's a good reference. It lets us know.
Because I don't care anymore.
He directed War of the Worlds.
See? Excellent.
That wasn't that excellent.
Such a good movie.
That was pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was garbage.
Munich was good.
Okay.
There's Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which might erase. It was so bad.
Also,
it might erase every good movie he's ever done.
Also, an amazing film. Just, I mean, wow.
It's terrible.
I mean, just so, so good.
He did the Tintin movie.
Yeah.
He did Lincoln.
You're right.
He did Lincoln.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good movie to end your film career with.
War Horse.
Didn't see it.
I didn't either.
It's about a horse, though.
It is about a horse and war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we can end there about Steven Spielberg.
I think we'd better.
Another director. You ready?
No.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Why are you just torturing me now?
You know what movie he directed, Eric? That probably is very interesting to you. Because I know you like the television show. I don't know if you've checked out the movie yet.
That movie doesn't exist. You shut your mouth.
The Avatar movie, The Last Airbender.
That's not a real thing. You shut up.
He directed it.
No, he didn't. It doesn't exist.
It does too exist. I saw it at the video store.
It's not real. You need to stop. No.
You like the television show. I'd figure you like the movie too. He also directed The Happening. Do you like The Happening?
I do not like The Crappening, no.
That is not the right name for it, Eric. It's called The Happening. It stars Mark Wahlberg and John Leguizamo.
The two of my favorite actors.
Yep.
It's Luigi and Marky Mark.
Yep. And then he also directed that one with the Paul Giovanni in a swimming pool. And Fairy Tales? Okay.
I think the less said about this douchebag, the better.
Okay. The last name.
I don't have my hammer. I can't smash him.
The last name on the list. He's up for talks and starring in maybe even multiple Marvel movies. And he's in a recently released film, Vin Diesel. Voice of the Iron Giant.
Voice of the Iron Giant, I was going to say.
Superman.
Honestly, outside of the Iron Giant, I have no opinion on Vin Diesel. Can you believe it?
I actually can believe it.
Well, there you are.
I figured you'd either hate him or be completely indifferent.
Yeah. Honestly.
He plays D&D.
That's fine. So do many people.
I know, I'm just trying to...
You're trying to sell him to me?
I'm trying to sell him to you.
I understand.
He seems like a nice gentleman.
I guess so. He's got a deep voice.
He does have a deep voice, very deep voice.
Hello, gravelly. There.
I can't do it. Okay, so that's it for 2 cents. Woohoo!
Yeah, don't you know it? That's made my day.
Don't sound too excited.
I will sound exactly as monotone as I want to. Robbie.
What? Why are you saying my name like that?
Because I want to.
Okay.
This is how I'm going to talk.
Forever?
Yes.
It's not good. We need to keep the energy up. Energy!
Well, let me just snort a line of Red Bull.
Or cocaine.
Okay. Jeez, Robbie. Why don't you just go straight to 11 right there? Don't pace yourself at all. Come on.
So we're going to go right in. The floppiest part of the show is weekly floppies.
I've been waiting all week to hear you say that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to start off with Marvel books. With Avengers number 19. Mm-hmm. It is the next Infinity tie-in, writers Jonathan Hickman, artist Lanio Francis Yu, colors by Sonny Go, letters by Corey Pettit. We are continuing the Infinity Saga, this time following the plight of the captured Avengers, plus and seeing more into the inner workings of the Builders. And
which book was Captain Marvel captured in? I think I might have skipped that one.
Well, you don't ever see her get captured. You see her just hang out in space. So you figure, like, their ship gets blown up, and they get thrown out. So you don't.
So their ship blows up, and that means they're captured. What kind of video game logic is this?
Well, they got thrown out into space. But you get some good quips of Captain Marvel too.
Yeah, she's pretty badass in this one.
Yeah, to the builders, mm-hmm. who are not pleasant peoples.
Can I make another observation?
You can.
Lanil Francis Yu is a fan of Badonkadonks.
I was about to say, there's like a big butt right in that one page.
Not just one page.
Multiple pages.
It's almost too distracting to read this book. Like, it's just constant.
It's not like constant.
Butts. Then there's the it's the Miranda shot at the end of the book where
the Miranda shot.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
The Mass Effect Miranda shot.
I know
where it's like oh, let's talk to Miranda. You know, dialogue. Bam, ass, right in the camera.
I see it. I know what you're talking about.
I am a fan of Male View, but I'm not going to say it's not shameless.
It's not
anyway, Miranda shot.
It's not at every page. It's on like 6 pages.
I think I'm going to keep using that, the Miranda shot.
It's not a bad... I mean, it makes sense. I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Totally. So, this is a book that we've read.
Yes, I like it. I like
I enjoyed it. It's still, it's like, God, the story's so huge.
Yes, it is. I mean,
I don't know why they're saying it's like an event in so many parts when you literally have zero idea. You barely have an idea what's happening if you read everything. So really, it's just like in 20 parts.
It's just an event in 20 parts with lots of butts.
There's more to it than just butts.
Well, that's the only thing I notice anymore.
I really enjoy it. You do get some choice Captain Marvel lines in this.
God, she's so awesome.
Yeah. You get some more insight into the builders and their strategy and their thoughts process.
Yeah.
And then you get to see one of the council do something colossally stupid. Which the action, it keeps moving it forward. Nothing stagnant in any of these books. Things are constantly moving.
It's a lot of story, and they're telling it at a breakneck speed.
They are, and it's Jonathan Hickman. And Hickman, I trust. I'm with him until the end of this.
You're in it to win it.
I'm in it to win it.
And I guess I'm in it to look at butts.
You are in. So I'm a buy.
Just like life. Yeah, I'm a buy as well. I'm being a bit of a doofus, but I had a good time reading it. It's as with every other book in this event, it ain't no Trinity War, that's for sure.
No, it's very beautiful. I'm a big fan of Lanil Francis Yu.
I love his butts. He is buttoning it up.
He's buttoning it up.
Mm-hmm, that's the hardest button to button.
Okay.
Do 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 do.
God.
Do.
You okay?
I am better than okay.
Okay.
I snorted a line of Red Bull.
I can tell.
Oh, you're making me hyper. That's what it is.
It's infectious. The cocaine is.
Yes.
Okay, next up is Captain America number 11, written by Rick Remender, art by Carlos Pacheco, with Klaus Janson on colors and Dean White. I don't know what he does. His name's on the cover, so I assume he did something.
You've been reading all these up to this point.
I have been. This is Captain America's comeback to Earth from the Dimension Z.
Now, let me ask some ignorant questions.
Go ahead.
Starting with, why is Nick Fury black now? Is this the Ultimates universe?
No, it is not.
Why is Nick Fury black now?
Do you really want me to answer that question? It'll be painful.
Oh, God.
I'm serious. Oh, it's going to hurt you to let me tell you.
I got to take my medicine. Tell me.
Okay. Nick Fury, Marvel Universe 616, Nick Fury, white war veteran Nick Fury from World War II, who has the Infinity Formula, so he lives forever, right? There's that guy. He had an illegitimate child with a black lady. Therefore, so he had a black child who did not know of his relation to Nick Fury up until recently. He discovered this when some villains who didn't like Nick Fury captured him, and as a cruel twist, they took out one of his eyes so he'd match his father, quote unquote. Nick Fury, the white Nick Fury, then retired. Kind of. They'll bring him back whenever they want to.
Naturally.
And then this Nick Fury took a role in S.H.I.E.L.D. and changed his name to Nick Fury. Nick Fury Jr.
Why didn't they just, like, I mean, don't these, all these universes, like, don't they all exist? Couldn't they have just, like, port one over to the other one?
They may be doing that shortly anyway, because there's rumors that the Ultimate Universe is going to explode and disappear.
That's the dumbest thing. That's just so dumb. All that Nick Fury shit.
Believe me, it's one of the most painful things that I've seen in the Marvel Universe.
That's bad.
It is. It's really bad.
That's bad, baddy badness.
It is baddy, baddy badness. I just kind of don't think about it.
I think that's fine. That's kind of what you have to do in comics.
Yes.
Like, well, this guy is being awesome, but it doesn't make sense that he's there, and this is stupid. And if you kind of close your eyes to this, it's pretty good. It's almost not like they're taking a big shit on your head.
Exactly. Captain America's back on Earth with his semi-daughter, Jet Black.
Her name is Jet Black. Any relation to the Cowboy Bebop Jet Black?
No relation.
She looks just like him.
Okay, she is not related to him.
Do you even know what Jet Black from Cowboy Bebop looks like?
I know what Cowboy Bebop is. I do not know what Jet Black looks like.
Well, he's a tall, bald man with a robot arm.
Okay, I don't. So
you can see the resemblance, right?
I can see the resemblance.
She looks like Big Barda.
Kind of, yeah, a little bit. A little more clothes.
Yeah, which is, there's a trade-off there.
But we get to see him and we get to see Captain America kind of dealing with the fact that he's been gone for 13 years.
I thought it was 12.
12. Does it say 12?
I think it says 12.
And 12 years. One or the other. 12 years, you're right. And him kind of just dealing with that, and then at the end we kind of get him burning all his war memorabilia, which is pretty awesome. It's really, I really like that, the big spread of all that stuff.
Yeah, I think that this is a very successful story. You really, I don't know. To me, it was really the most interesting thing about that whole arc, which I only read a little bit of. About him being trapped in there for so long and all the things that he's gone through, and I don't know. Pretty much whenever a character has post-traumatic stress disorder, I find it fascinating. Really says something horrible about people that we're so drawn to stories of conflict and suffering.
Yes. And speaking of suffering, we get the return of Nuke, everyone's favorite character.
I can't even think of the books I've seen him in. I am familiar with this douchebag.
He has an American flag tattooed on his face.
Yeah, he does. He's a special, special boy. His name is Nuke.
His name is Nuke. We don't lose wars. Amen. Amen, Nuke. But I enjoy the art. I like Rick Remender. I'm enjoying the story he's telling. I'm a buy.
Yeah, totally. I'm bi, double bi.
Next up, we have the only DC book of the week, because it was the only DC book that wasn't a stupid Villain Month crossover.
Can we just read Larfleeze again?
Larfleeze is not going to be out this month, Eric.
I know that.
Because of villains.
Jeez.
More damage. So
more
it's
damage?
More damage. More. You can't read Larfleeze. Can't read Animal Man. Any of those books we enjoy? No, can't read those. We have to try and sell shitty crossover one-shots with villains for some reason. But the one DC book we're reading is Astro City, number 4.
Old Vertigo.
Written by Kurt Busiek, art by Brent Anderson, colored by Alex Sinclair. This is, I mean, most Astro City kind of has made its living on little isolated stories. And this is another one of these kind of working class superheroes. These guys, people who have powers, but don't use them to, you know, fight crime or break into things. They're just kind of have normal jobs that just happen to use powers.
It makes me think a lot of Top Ten. You haven't read Top Ten, have you?
I have not read Top Ten.
I would be shocked if you didn't like it. It's you know who it is, right?
Alan Moore, yes.
Yes, it's Alan Moore.
Alan Moore.
Alan. But the storytelling in it makes me think a lot of... the storytelling in this makes me think a lot of Top Ten.
Yeah,
both very good. I thought this was a heck of a lot of fun.
No, I enjoyed this a lot. I really like the fact that like the protagonist is a middle-aged woman.
Mm-hmm.
That you would never see that. Ever.
Yeah, she's pretty uncommon, isn't she?
It makes for a really good story. An ass-kicking middle-aged woman.
Yeah.
Who refuses to take shit from this supervillain who's kidnapping all these blue-collar superheroes.
Yeah.
Blue-collar, powered.
The cover's really great that way, that she's just sort of... She's doing, you know, talk to the hand, all this shit going on beside her. It's pretty fantastic. It really works conceptually well with the story.
It does. Story's really good. I mean, the art's good. No complaints. It's a buy.
It's something that I'd never thought of. Is it something that they've explored more in Astro City? That the Joe Schmo superhero.
I haven't read enough. I don't think I've read. I haven't read Astro City extensively.
Mm-hmm.
Just here and there. And I mean, it's something you kind of. They kind of just mention, but. I don't know how much they've delved into it in the past.
It's a pretty fantastic idea.
Yeah.
You know, that not everyone in this universe, I mean, why, it makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't someone get powers and, like, just, you know...
Get a job.
Lift a yeah, exactly. It's a pretty neat idea.
Makes sense. The art's good.
It's very strong, yeah. It's not the kind of thing that gets me, like, jacked or anything, but it tells the story very well. It's very competent. It's good enough that, you know, it conveys mood and tells the story beautifully.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
so,
it really creates unique characters.
I'm a buy.
Totally. Double buy.
So next up, we have the first of two indie books this week. Eternal Warrior, number 1, by Valiant Comics. I'm trying to find the credits page so I can give... I don't know where it is.
Who cares who did it?
Here it is. Written by Greg Pak, artist Trevor Harrison, colorist Brian Reber, letters by Simon Boland. This is kind of a... The Eternal Warrior is, that's, the name is accurate about this guy who is immortal. And it starts off with this huge bloody battle in his, he's about to lose, then his daughter comes in and tramples all these dudes with a giant elephant, and, it's very much a first issue where we...
Mm-hmm.
It's just introducing the characters, and you get a lot of violence. And that's pretty much it. I liked it, though. I did enjoy it. It moved quickly.
I didn't really care for it.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was... It's nothing unique at all. It just, every stitch of it felt like something I had seen before 100 times. Nothing is really pulling me in.
I got kind of pulled in by an elephant stomping a guy in half.
I mean, that's happened before.
Everything's happened before.
Yeah, I know, but this is, there's nothing novel about this to me. Just, I don't know, it doesn't excite me. It doesn't really do a whole heck of a lot for me.
Is it just the story?
I think it is. I mean, the art is good enough. I don't know. Whenever I see something with the word warrior in it,
mm-hmm.
I kind of already assume it's not for me. You know, not that I'm like so highfalutin that I'm like, oh, this has fighting in it. Ooh, I don't like it. Like, if it was, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be saying anything I want to see. It doesn't excite me in any way.
Okay.
It's Highlander. It's Highlander.
It's not Highlander. They can't die.
Highlander.
They can't die. Highlanders can die.
These guys can die?
How?
They said that they can. Or at least, it seemed like that. I don't know.
The book left me intrigued. It raised a question at the end that made me want to read the next one. And again,
why did I buy this book?
Because I put it down.
Yeah, I know that. You don't have to say that. I'm trying to be a smartass over here. You need to help me out.
Oh,
be a bro, man. Come on.
Sorry. I'm a bi.
I am not that I wanted to tear my own face off while I was reading it, but I'm a don't bi.
Okay. I think we'll just have to deal with that.
You had thoughts on why you did buy it?
Why I recommend it? I like it. Moved quickly. I like the action. I like the art. It's written well enough. I mean, the dialogue seems natural. All the characters.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not hammy.
It's not. Yeah, it's not cheesy or hammy. It seems authentic. And again, it left me intrigued at the end. There's a lot of books that I like and I read regularly. Often don't leave me with like. You know, whoa, I really want to read the next one. This one, I'm like, well, I'd like to read the next one. I want to know what happens next. And sometimes that's enough.
The black and white artwork at the end of this book is really nice.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't look.
Well, it's in this digital copy. I don't know. I assume you got it digitally, but
I did.
I don't know that everyone listening would buy it digitally. Regardless, the artwork, the black and white artwork, really, God, so many colorists, it just seems like it ruins it. Get a lot of really excellent black and white artists, and then the color comics just don't look like anything.
Yeah, looks really good.
Anyway, yeah, don't buy.
What's next? The last book of the week. I picked this solely because it seemed so ridiculous. Mars Attacks, Judge Dredd, number one.
Can you? Here's something that might shock you. This is my favorite book this week. If only for the first couple of pages.
It's written by Al Ewing, art by John McCrae, colored by J Photos, letters by Tom DeLong. Tom B. Long, sorry.
This book is kind of incredible. I love this. The guy's name is Don Travolta.
Oh my god. I'm surprised you enjoyed that.
There's a lot of crap like this, but it's funny. It actually makes me laugh. You know, like that RoboCop book that we read.
Yes.
Should have been written like this. You know?
Yes.
Like, when it's like, you know, like, the guy is, like, super badass, and he's like, I'm defending justice. It's like, that's stupid as hell. That's what a child writes. But when it's like that, but, like, it's, you know, kind of winking at you, it's tongue-in-cheek, then I think you've got a winning formula, and I think that's what works here. You know, this is...
This is just silly and it's cheesy and...
Yes, it is.
The art is really fun. And I think it's the way these stupid characters are meant to be handled. I think it's really kind of great. My biggest problem with it is I kind of wish that the stuff surrounding Judge Dredd wasn't quite so serious.
What, the narrative?
Yeah, his investigation, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, it works well enough.
I like it. I mean, it's not, I don't not like it. I mean, it's okay, but that's all I can muster for it.
So we're flip-flopped on Eternal Warrior and Judge Dredd.
I think so. It's Mars Attacks Judge Dredd. There's not enough. I need more Martians.
I'm pretty sure they're coming.
I know, but I want them every book all the time.
I'm sorry. You can't always get what you want.
Are you going to sing Rolling Stones to me now?
I might. I have been known to sing things.
So, I mean, there's nothing bad about it. I just don't... Well, everything that Eric just said that he loves, I'm just kind of eh about.
That's okay.
So.
For some reason, it works for me. Eternal Warrior did not. And I have to go out there and say, I don't particularly care for Mars Attacks or Judge Dredd, but there's some kind of weird... peanut butter and chocolate synergy going on here. it just sort of works.
Okay. So...
I actually haven't read too much Judge Dredd. Maybe I should.
It's... I mean, there's so much of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's... There's... But he ages in real time.
Does he? That's good.
His character is, since its inception, he's now, like, in his 50s.
That's pretty awesome.
Of course, they still do Origins, first year one, and stuff like that. You know.
What would you... I don't know. Have you read any of it?
Not very much. Just bits
would you
and pieces.
What would you compare it to? Like a Garth Ennis, like Preacher or something like that? You haven't read Preacher.
I haven't read Preacher.
God damn it.
I need to. It's on my list.
Yeah, you do.
But its problem is there's so... It's so much of it. There's 30 years of Judge Dredd comics.
Yeah.
It's like saying, well, I mean, it's like Batman. It's like, what would you, it depends who wrote it.
And right.
And who would you compare it to? Oh, I don't know. What era are we talking about? And stuff like that. And again, I'm not even well versed enough, probably. They've been releasing, IDW has, now that they have the rights to it in America, they're put out a lot of complete case files, and apparently the couple ongoings now are pretty good from what I've heard. Well, maybe we can do one eventually, because they have a whole bunch of collections out. But I'm a don't buy.
I think I'm a buy. Can you believe it?
So we didn't get any unanimous don't buys this week.
That's true.
Everything we at least there's
it's just because you're wrong on Eternal Warrior.
Oh, Eric, what am I going to do with you?
Wah, wah, wah.
So that's it for weekly floppies. Floppiest time of the week is now over.
Oh.
Oh, no. Until next week.
Yep.
Now we have Classic Breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we are doing the massive tome.
Jesus.
Of Bone.
I dropped my copy on my foot and it broke my foot. I'm wearing a cast now.
By Jeff Smith.
I drove around reading this book and it my gas mileage plummeted.
Gotten any more?
I don't know. I will say that a lot of people approached me while I was reading this and asked about it.
Really?
Because it's I mean, It's like the size of the fucking Bible.
It is.
It's huge.
There are I imagine you have the same thing I do.
Yeah, the $40 giant paperback.
Yes, it's 1,332 pages.
It's huge. It's huge.
And it's gigantic. And when it's like an epic, and by epic we mean it is epic just because it's so long.
It is. Well, I mean, I think it's quite literally an epic.
It is. It really is.
It's a very strange book, and that, like, just looking at the subject matter tells you a lot about who Jeff Smith is. You know, that, like, he clearly. Well, this is a lot of me guessing. If you've actually read up on Jeff Smith, and maybe you know some things that I don't.
I do not.
I want to say the feeling that I came into this, because I read, God, it blows my mind to think just how long this has been going on, that when I was reading Bone, like I was in college, and it was actually still coming out. The last book came out in 2004.
Yeah.
And it took him 12 years to finish this.
That is quite an achievement.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is quite literally like his life's achievement. But, like, you can really see his influences, the impression that I get coming into this. Because it feels very disjointed. Like, all these characters sort of are very juxtaposed together.
Mm-hmm.
That these Bone characters were something that he had created, you know, when he was a much younger cartoonist, when he was obsessed with people like Walt Kelly. Are you familiar? I think it's Pogo that Walt Kelly did.
I'm not familiar.
I want to say that's who it is. I know it's definitely Walt Kelly. But, yeah, it's totally Pogo. But if you look at that art, it was just basically, it looked like he had probably been drawing, like, the Bone characters for years. So when you get into this story, it just feels like they just fall out of the sky. Like there's something that existed before, and then they just interact with this whole story that's like straight out of Tolkien.
Here, Eric, a direct quote from Smith.
Let's hear it.
I was a big fan of Karl Barks and Pogo, yeah. So it was just natural for me to want to draw that kind of mixture of Walt Kelly and Mobius.
It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, his influences. Mobius, I wouldn't have picked out of there, but just anyone that does black and white line art like this is going to definitely have him as an influence. But it's odd, you know.
And yes,
you got these little Smurf guys.
Yes, and then they're operating in like this human land.
Yeah,
this medieval Tolkien-esque.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just. I don't know. It's so obvious. Like, Phony Bone is exactly like Uncle Scrooge.
Yes.
Like, he's almost exactly the same character.
I'll read you another direct quote. What? I always wanted Uncle Scrooge to go on a longer adventure. I thought, man, if you could just get a comic book of that quality, the length of, say, War and Peace or The Odyssey or something, that would be something I would love to read. Even as a kid, I looked everywhere for that book, that Uncle Scrooge story that was 1,100 pages long.
Well, it sort of exists now.
Yes.
Not this, but,
no.
You know.
But.
You get the life and times.
You can.
What was that, episode 2?
Yes.
Episode 2, people.
Lifetime Scrooge McDuck.
God, it's such a huge story, and I regret. I think both of us sort of read it in a marathon read.
I had read up to 800, 900 pages prior to us deciding to read it this week, and I read the rest of it in one sitting in about two.
Well, I mean, it's reading. It would be like reading all of The Sandman. Or all of, did they say Cerberus or Kerberos?
Cerberus.
Cerberus.
Yes.
Be reading all of that. It's 9 trades worth, 12 years of comics. Reading it in just a couple of days. I mean, you can do it, but God, it really kind of shortchanges it, and I'm going to have to go back and read it again because it's so lush and so beautiful, and the storytelling is. Truly excellent. I mean, Jeff Smith really, I don't know, it's the project of his whole life collected in one book.
Well, he's published stuff after this.
Well, I don't know that anything is going to live up to it. Like, I read a Shazam story, and it's like, eh.
I have the RASL, Rassel, whatever, however you want to say it. I haven't read it yet, but it's very interesting to me because it's about Tesla. And I think Tesla is a very interesting figure in history.
Oh, sure.
So, it'd be hard to, this is such, both in its contents and in its just amount of work it would take, an epic work.
It's strong writing, it's strong art. There's really no weak. I think the thing that I like the least about it is the dialect that it's written in. You know, that's the only thing that I have a problem with. Did that get on your nerves at all?
That didn't bother me, actually.
Like, there are things I liked about it, and it got a little more transparent as it got towards the end. But, like, I don't know. I'm just a little sensitive to dialect.
We've discussed this before about how it can be done poorly very easily.
Yes, it's very difficult to do it well.
This didn't bother me. And it generally does. But this one time, it did not bother me at all.
It just annoyed me, and it really stood out to me. Like, in particular, how no one said the word "the."
So.
Yeah. Like, every time that happened, it was like a big sore thumb sticking out. It really bugged me. But it became a lot more transparent towards the end.
But before we go any further, we should probably discuss the plot. A little.
It might be worth talking about.
The basic plot, it starts, it's so long, it's hard to go over everything.
It really is.
It's, you have the Bones, they're cousins, I guess, right? There's Phone Bone, there's Phony Bone, Fonsible, and then Smiley. Phone Bone is the main character. He's kind of an everyman to a certain extent, even though he looks like this little weird, goofy cartoon character. They find themselves lost, and they move into this valley. They're from Boneville, which apparently is similar to our construct of a town, more modern.
Yeah, that is. I did think that was interesting that everything in their world is much more modern.
Yeah, and then they get lost in this desert, and they find themselves in this valley, and everyone is a humanoid figure, humans mostly, but then it's a medieval time period, basically, where everything's much older, and you learn all these characters in the town, and then you kind of get cast into this adventure with rat creatures and dragons and these ancient evils, and in that way it is very Tolkien-esque, where you get it uses an everyman character much like the Tolkien.
Yeah, the Bones are kind of like the Hobbits.
Yeah, they uses Frodo as like your vision, your view into this new world, and an easy perspective into all this kind of lore that you have to kind of encounter and learn to follow the story. And Bone kind of has this romance. It's not even a romance, really. He has, this attraction and relationship with the female character Thorn and her grandmother.
I think that one of the most fascinating things about this book, and it was clearly done intentionally, is that all of the big badasses in this story, they're all women.
It's true, they are.
Every single one. I mean, when you think about...
Well, not the dragon.
Huh?
The dragon's not, is it?
The dragon's female. Is Mim.
It? Oh. Yeah. No, not the
red dragon.
The red dragon.
But he's not. He's just a dragon, you know?
Well, he's the first dragon they encounter.
Well, he's pretty much the only one that's a character.
Yeah, everyone else is kind of just is there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they are. It's true. Thorn, her grandmother. Well, Lucius is not, and he's a badass.
He is, but he's not a badass Like Grandma Ben, holy God!
No, she is. Yeah, she's the toughest character in this story.
She's the Tom Strange of this book. I want to see her run across the galaxy.
She probably could.
She probably fucking could.
Runs with cows across the galaxy.
She does. She does. I swear to God, she's so awesome. This is an old woman beating the crap out of monsters.
Yes.
Friggin' sweet.
Yeah. And, yeah, you kind of... to go any further, it kind of would spoil it a little bit to go any more further detail. But basically, they get drawn in this adventure where they're trying to save the world. Save the valley from this ancient evil.
Yeah.
And don't want to go too much detail more than that. You really don't need to speak of the quality of this. I'm even more than the story. Like I've said, the story is very Tolkien-esque.
Yeah.
You know, kind of drawn in that this epic fantasy. The art is unbelievable.
It is of the highest caliber. Like I discovered Bone when I was a young cartoonist in college, and I think even at this point, if I could draw a comic, I would want it to look like Bone. It is one of the most beautifully, lushly illustrated comics that I've ever seen.
It's gorgeous.
I would put it right up there with some of my favorite illustrated books, like The Meta Barons or The Coffin. You know, these books that have just unearthly good art. It's amazing. And there's no weak points in it. That's what's kind of incredible.
No.
That there's a billion pages in this. Like, how many pages did you say there were?
Over
1,000.
Over 1,300.
Yeah, 1,300 pages, and every one is expertly drawn.
Yeah.
No color. The black and white pulls everything off perfectly. It's incredible.
There was multiple times when I was reading through this where I would just stop. I would come upon a page, and I would... I'd stop and look at it.
Yeah.
And marvel.
Any good comic should do that. I mean,
this is another level. This isn't, it's just so beautiful. The level of detail and characterization and uniqueness is just, again, highest level. I mean, the way he expresses, this book is also very funny. It has a lot of great humor.
Yeah,
which is really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he draws it, and also can express drama and action, and he hit every kind of emotional note successfully, just with the storytelling and the art. Really good.
Yeah, it's I think just sort of because it's it is such an odd juxtaposition of characters and ideas and all these things that are so unique to who Jeff Smith is, that it feels like something that shouldn't exist.
No, you often come upon it and you're like, this is very, it's very strange kind of mixture of multiple genres. Mm-hmm. And because you get these weird little bone guys, and then they're mixing up with these kind of human figures, and then you get these fantastical, there's talking animals, talking insects,
right,
and then dragons, but then you also get like mixture of like weird religious cults.
I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, it really is like if you mixed, you know, Sunday comics with Tolkien. The Smurfs.
Yeah.
And, God, what else? Definitely Disney comics.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about definitely the Carl Barks adventure stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all this stuff is in here. It's like you take it all, You throw it in a blender and you push play. You know,
with some of the best with some of the best artwork that I've ever seen.
I mean, he is a cartoonist among cartoonists. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah, it's really good, and I would not suggest reading it in a week, though.
I would not suggest reading it in 2 days, which I just did.
I would say.
Did I tell you this? I bought it on Friday.
No, you didn't. I didn't know you read it in 2 days.
I read it in 2 days. And that's, like, I just got to a point where I had read 3/4 or so of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to read more, and my brain was tired. I just looked at it and just couldn't read anymore. Because that's, like, it's one of the things about comics is they read so quickly. But my brain still had to process all of that. And it kind of hurt.
Yes, there is a lot. It's very dense.
It is super dense.
There's a lot of stuff happening.
It's a little unbelievable.
But I couldn't suggest it more highly. I put off reading it a long time, and I'm glad I finally got it done.
Yeah, as have I. I have seen probably this exact same copy at the local bookstore. It's always, like, shelf-worn and beaten up, and it's always cost just a little bit too much, and I don't want to buy it. But it's... I'm glad that we've pulled the trigger and that we've read it, because it is just, you know, 10 out of 10. Absolutely top-shelf material. Like, it's hard to get any better than Bone.
No, it's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Go read it.
Yeah. And on a positive, on a different note, make sure that you tell you're going to take your lady to Boneville.
God.
Not enough bone jokes.
I was hoping we could make it through without them.
No, I've been itching to say take you to Boneville. I'll take you to Boneville, Robbie.
I can't wait. I know. So that was this week's Classic Breakdown. Again, it's Bone by Jeff Smith. Available in one volume, $40. You probably get it much cheaper on Amazon. I haven't looked. I actually got it, and you can find it at cons. I got this one at a con for $20.
You're a boss.
They were trying to offload them because they had a whole bunch of them.
They build a house out of them.
House of Bones.
House of Bones. That's pretty good.
Bone House.
Mm-hmm. Bone Shack.
Bone Shack. We're going to end the week with
a shitload of bone puns. Come on, let's do it. 2 hours worth. Let's fill this up.
We're going to end this
week. Let's fill it up with bone.
End this week's episode with with Stump the Nerd. Where Eric will hit me with a multitude of characters, and I will construct a story around them.
Yep.
So, Eric, what do you got for me? Hit me up.
I'm gonna hit you. I'm gonna hit you with
some bone.
I'm gonna hit you with the Boneville. Are you ready being hit? Hit up. Okay. Character the first. Garrus. Not Garrulactus, but Garrus.
Garrus. Do not ingest.
Do not ingest. It'll destroy your insides.
Destroy your insides.
Okay, Garrus.
Got it.
Character the second. Rorschach.
Jesus Christ.
Character the third. Grandma Ben.
Seriously.
You have a problem with this?
Go ahead, just give me the fourth one.
Character the fourth. Wallace Wells. Do you know who I'm talking about?
From Scott Pilgrim?
From Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I have to refresh on him a little bit.
Well, he's gay and he's loud.
I just want to get the details a little bit more than those things.
He wants to be friends based on mutual hate. Are you pumped up?
I'm trying to...
Are you excited for this?
I don't know.
This is your opportunity to have Grandma Ben run across the universe.
That's true. I could have.
I think it's really strange that she's Grandma Ben and her name
is Rose.
Is Rose Harvestar.
Harvestar.
Yeah. But they did call her Rose Ben once.
Well, Garrus is the only alien.
I couldn't think of another good alien.
Jesus. The fuck could they possibly have it? None of these characters, Garrus and Rorschach, are the most things, the most, two that have the most in common. And that's saying something.
And that they're both Batman-y.
They are. They're both Batman-y, and they both like are for justice.
Mm-hmm.
Which, can I have any version of Grandma Ben, or does she actually have to be old lady Grandma Ben?
It can any of these can be any version or whatever. Like, you could just have Sign Guy. You know?
Okay.
You could have Walter Kovacs with a sign the whole time. Like, you could write a story about the other three and just have Walter Kovacs.
Be a sign guy?
Yeah, just like waving a sign at Garrus that says the end is nigh.
I don't, that seems like a cop out to me.
It would be, but you can. it's copping out's right in your wheelhouse, baby.
Hey, watch it there. So the Reapers have attacked Earth. And
Reapers.
What about them?
Well, you can't hear me doing air quotes.
No.
Reapers.
I can't hear you doing air quotes, actually.
I'm trying to inflect air quotes in my voice. Listen carefully.
Sorry.
Reapers.
Yes.
Those guys.
Big giant space monsters.
Yeah, those
sentient machine guys.
The old machines.
From,
I should have put Legion in this instead.
Instead of Garrus.
Made it worse.
That would have been a lot worse.
I love Legion. Oh God, I love Legion.
Why couldn't you put Morden in here and made me happy?
It's too late now.
And Reapers attack. Wallace Wells enlists in the military.
He does. He's so he can be a gay space marine.
And
there's no don't ask, don't tell in the Mass Effect universe.
There is not.
This is why Shep can go around with his fluid sexuality.
Yes, just fuck everyone.
Yeah. Shep is just a genderless mass of clay that has sex with everything.
Damn it, more text prompts. I wanted sex now.
So, Wallace Wells.
He enlists.
In space.
He's in space. He's gay in space with Garrus.
He's gay with Garrus?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's...
Garrus is his instructor at the academy.
That's racist. That's not racist. It's racy. There's a difference in those words.
There's a big difference. They mean very different things.
They do.
Garrus is his instructor, and they grow attached to each other.
Wallace, don't ingest.
Don't ingest, Wallace.
Wallace!
You believe me, Garrus really has to hammer that home.
He does. It'll destroy your insides,
he
Wallace.
He literally has to
hammer that home. Take it all the way home, baby.
And so Grandma Ben is... She's farming. She's farming, and the dragon, the red dragon, tells her about this struggle that's happening far away, and they need her help. So she goes into the secret tunnel into the dream world or whatever, the land of dreaming. Is that what it's called?
The dreaming.
Into the dreaming, and finds herself on the same spaceship as Garrus and. W2. He'll do your taxes.
You know, if you wanted to know what Wallace Wells would do, WWWWD. I'm going to make bracelets that say that.
Oh, God.
What That's would that. Wallace Wells do?
And,
he would have sex with dudes.
He would. He would have sex with Garrus.
Don't do it.
Don't ingest.
Do not.
We could just say that joke for another hour and giggle.
I don't get tired of it, and that's kind of what's important.
And giggle to ourselves.
Yes.
Then
we can go back to bone jokes.
We can go back to bone jokes. She said, so she goes into the dreaming, and when she wakes up, she's on the spaceship. She's on Garrus's Wen Wallace Wells spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
She immediately confronts Garrus about the trouble, about what's happening and the dangers of this space threat. And Garrus can recognize a good soldier when he sees one.
Mm-hmm.
So he trains her up, and then she ends up being in a relationship with Garrus as well.
Wow.
And
we got a love triangle going on.
Love triangle.
Garrus is taking over for Shep.
He is. Someone has to.
Someone has to fuck the galaxy.
Exactly.
Jesus.
So Grandma Ben can't ingest either.
Is it? No, she'd better not. I forget. Is this Grandma Ben the younger?
This is the older. This is the elder. She still wants to get things. I mean,
she's still foxy.
She sees the warrior.
She's still hard as rock.
She is, and she sees the warrior in Garrus, and it unlocks something.
Do you think that he trains her to snipe?
I think so. Yeah,
I think that's kind of awesome.
Wallace Wells, he's a biotics guy.
Biotics.
Yeah, he's all biotics. He does not use, like, he uses bare bones firearms.
Do you think he's like Morden?
No.
He doesn't have cryo?
No. He's not like Morden. I don't know. It's hard for me to compare it to it. He's more like a...
He has the crushy powers and overload.
Kind of like that, yeah, I would say so.
So he's Miranda.
Yes, kind of.
In my mind, he dresses just like Miranda. Because he would do that.
He would dress like Miranda.
He would totally wear... He would have the Miranda shot.
Garrus kind of...
You know, you see how I brought that back?
You did bring it back. Garrus kind of sometimes imagines him as Miranda.
I think he would. This is very sexual so far.
But Garrus pictures Grandma Ben as more of like the male Shep.
Right, right.
Now for Rorschach. I'll say when the Reapers attacked Earth, they just killed him. He died.
Oh my god.
He was like fighting crime, and then the Reapers just exploded the building he was in and he died.
He's the sacrifice, so we know the story's serious.
Yes, exactly. Oh shit, they killed Rorschach?
Man, he couldn't throw fat on him. He didn't have that opportunity.
But they go out into space, and I don't know a suitable enemy. I mean, there's remnants of the Reapers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean, but I'd think of a new big bad for them. I think it's more of an interpersonal story, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's necessarily...
It's just a love story.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a love story between the three of them.
Yes.
While the Reapers slowly torture and kill Rorschach.
Yes. I think Garrus, it's tearing Garrus up inside. That he loves these two figures. And finally, he just has to bring it to a head, and he brings them together. And both Wallace Wells and Grandma Ben love Garrus enough that they are willing to share him. Until the day Grandma Ben is pulled back into... her world, and Garrus is just sad and cries and teary, and he is comforted by Wallace Wells in their little bunk, and Grandma Ben is heartbroken when she finds herself back in her world because she had found this alien lover who could touch her soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kills herself.
Jesus. Wow. This has gone to a dark place, man. The Reapers are torturing Rorschach. Grandma Ben is committing suicide. Does she commit suicide by ingesting?
No.
Because I'm telling you, man, that'd do it. No. That'd put you right out.
No, she falls on her sword.
I don't know if that would kill her.
She falls on five swords.
She falls on five swords.
Yes.
She puts a sword in her head.
Yes.
That might do it. Maybe.
But Wallace, Wells, and Garrus live happily ever after until the Reapers show up, and then they kill them all, and then they have sex on the corpses of the Reapers.
Man. Wow. That is spectacular. You are friggin' special.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Oh. Okay.
You're a spectacular person.
So are you a buy or don't buy?
I think I'm a don't buy on this book.
Come on.
As much as I want to see Grandma Ben kill herself and not run across the universe.
I'm sorry. That's just where the story went. I can't control it. She loved Garrus.
She did.
Even though she couldn't ingest.
She couldn't. And maybe that's the saddest part of it all. You know, she's so invulnerable, she might be okay with it. She might could survive.
That's terrible.
You know, like, it'd be like Wonder Woman. She could probably do it, too. She could ingest.
Well, she's dating Superman.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that super sperm.
It goes off like a shotgun.
It makes the sound of a shotgun.
Naturally.
He cocks it. And
takes her to Boneville.
Kapow!
Yep.
Right in the kisser.
The kisser. There you go.
She's like, Wonder Woman comes out looking like she's like in a war.
Mm-hmm.
Bruises everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, I got all excited.
Hey, calm down there a little bit there, buddy.
Hmm. I thought about ingesting and I got a little too swoony over here.
Okay.
So are you calling it?
I'm calling it. That's it. That's the end of the adventure.
That is the end. And what a rousing adventure it was.
Oh, rousing.
Uh-oh. Out of Boneville.
Yeah. So, folks, that's the end of Stump the Nerd. I apologize for everything I just said.
If you ask me, I feel like he was pretty stumped.
It was tough. That was a really hard one. Very hard. Super hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that brings us to the close. This is the end of episode 19. I told you I'd say it again.
I know. I was waiting for it. You have made my day.
We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour.
All day long.
All day long. All week long. All month long. All year long. All life long.
Oh, yeah.
You can find us at HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HandsomeBoysComicsHour. Like us there. Leave notes us. What the hell is that?
That's, yes. Do whatever that is, do it.
Do it, do that. And
Do it.
You go to iTunes, search for us there, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, subscribe, leave us reviews, we'll give you hugs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. we're on the Tumblr as well, handsomeboyscomicshour.tumblr.com. I think that's everything for us. You can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Serial. You can find me at Tumblr on Mixmaster Serial. There's links at the HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com website. Eric, where can they find you and your things?
You can see my things and my stuff. You can see my portfolio at freewillunlimited.com, and you can see a collection of many of the things I get up to online at ericzgoodnight.com. And you can talk at me at the Twitter machine by looking for Mr. Bad Example. That's M-R Bad Example on Twitter.
So I think I think that's everything.
I'd say that's enough.
Probably. We've inflicted enough ingesting jokes and bone jokes.
Oh, yeah. It's been a very sexy episode 19.
Very sexy. So, until next time, folks, have a good one.
Rock and roll.